Good morning, everybody. Well, it's an honor and privilege to be here with you today. And it's really neat how it worked out for me to be here this Sunday of the Life Chain, which is going on across the country. I've actually done it in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live. And it's just a very peaceful and special way to be a voice without using your voice. I've been enjoying visiting with my girlfriends from Ellerslie, and my cousin lives in Chicago, so we went on Friday and spent the day with him, and that was really neat, my first time seeing the big city. The story I'm going to share with you this morning is difficult to tell, and it may be difficult to hear, but it must be told as a testimony to the power of God to change a life. It's a story of sin and darkness, but more importantly, it's a story of redemption, healing, beauty, and light. It's a story that says, no matter how someone may be affected by abortion, God is greater. I have such a passion to share my story and the truth of Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm going to be sharing how God has worked all things in my life together for my good and his glory. It's a sad story, but I don't want you to walk out of here today thinking, oh, how sad, that poor girl. Yes, it's sad, but I want you to walk out thinking, oh, what a Jesus, what an amazing God that we serve. Close to 5 years ago, I was 19, living in Virginia, and I started feeling sick. Right away, I knew what that meant. I knew it meant that I was pregnant. I had grown up in a Christian pro-life family, but had never really given much thought to abortion because it had never affected me personally. I never imagined I would be in this situation. After all, I had planned on remaining a virgin until marriage. But somehow along the way, and going to college, and I backslid in my faith, and the culture seduced me. I was convinced that abortion was my only solution, as if it was a problem needing fixing. I just wanted to get back to my normal life, and I was ready to feel normal again. Immediately when I saw that positive pregnancy sign, I was terrified of what my family and my friends would say and think of me if they ever found out. I was terrified of the shame and humiliation that I would feel if people found out. I didn't want to face the pain that was sure to come with choosing adoption or parenting. I didn't want my future to be shattered. I convinced myself that because I was taking care of things so early, I was only 6 weeks gestation, and because it was a pill I would be taking and not a surgical procedure, that it was no big deal. At some point during that time, I called Planned Parenthood, the world's largest abortion provider, and the appointment was set. It was much less complicated to think of this as a pregnancy rather than as a baby. I couldn't see my belly getting bigger, so I had no evidence that there was a life already there. But somehow, deep inside, in a place I was scared to even go, I already knew that I was a mother. The tears cried during this time of my life are proof of that. I can't even fully convey the depths of despair that I was in. I never knew such pain was possible. I never imagined that this would happen to me, a Christian pro-life kid, but it proves that abortion doesn't affect certain kinds of people. Abortion can affect anyone. On February the 6th, 2009, I went to Planned Parenthood and paid the $350 that it would take to end my child's life. Because it was legal, and my choice, it was not a big deal, I thought to myself. I wish I had known that my child's heart had already begun beating. I wish I had known that even though I was ending my pregnancy, I would never again not be a mother. The counselor at Planned Parenthood assured me that it was my choice and no big deal. She told me that some initial sadness after an abortion would be normal. However, if I was still feeling sad after a couple days, that would not be normal and I should seek help. I wish I could tell you that I didn't take that little pill that I thought would solve all my problems, but I did. After a night of darkness, it was over. I thought I could forget that the nightmare had ever happened. Little did I know, I would never again be the person I was before my abortion. Initially, I had a flood of relief and just felt like, oh, you know, no one ever has to know about this. I can just put it in my past. However, the pain quickly began catching up with me. The suffering was too much to feel, so I shut myself off and my heart grew cold. I drowned my sorrows in things like drinking and dating a new guy. I felt beyond repair, like this was the unforgivable sin, and there was no hope for me. I looked happy on the outside, but inside I was miserable. I kept my mind constantly busy and occupied so I didn't have to face the things I so desperately wanted to escape. It was in the long, lonely nights when God would meet me there, when I could no longer run from my thoughts and feelings. And he would gently whisper to me and show me that there was hope in him. But I felt too weak to make any changes. I literally knew that I was in spiritual chains and I couldn't break free. I picture myself at this time in quicksand. And no matter how hard you may try to get out of quicksand, how much you want to be out, you just keep sinking more and more into the depths of despair. A few months passed and I started feeling the familiar nausea. And right away I knew what that meant. I was pregnant again. Yet again, I had the same choice to make. Yet again, that positive pregnancy sign was staring back at me. I wasn't shocked this time, but numb, broken, empty. How could this be my life? I thought I knew what must be done. I needed to have another abortion. After all, I had already had one abortion, what's another? This is the mindset that many women who have had abortions have. I've already messed it up. What's having another abortion? What's having another one after that? The appointment was set at Planned Parenthood for August 15th, 2009. Just 6 months after my abortion, 3 days after my 20th birthday, I convinced myself that after August 15th, I could return to Jesus. After August 15th, life could move on and I could have a fresh start. I just needed to have this abortion because I could not face the consequences of what I had chosen. The same reasons I had chosen abortion the first time were once again reasons why I would choose abortion this time. It was only a few months later. It was in this month of August 2009 when God was doing something beautiful in my heart and life beyond what I could see or understand. He was transforming me and making me new. Though I couldn't fully understand it, I knew he was fighting for my life as well as for the life of the one who grew within me. He opened my eyes to the truth that there was already a precious child growing in my womb. It was as if he whispered to my heart that he had a beautiful plan for my baby's life, far beyond anything I could imagine. Instead of walking through those clinic doors a second time, I was walking into the light towards freedom. I went from being sure I needed to have another abortion to being confused. There was literally a battle between life and death raging within me, and it was so strange to me that nobody else knew. I picture Jesus on a white steed coming to rescue me. It was at this time that I was researching different abortion methods because I was too far along to have the RU486 pill, which is what I had had my abortion. I was looking up the surgical procedures and came across different videos and about that explained the abortion procedures, as well as stories of those who were post-abortive and former abortionists and others involved in the abortion industry. God allowed me to sense the depth of the darkness of abortion in a way that I never have since. Initially, I had started researching it when I was considering having another abortion myself, when God turned my world upside down and lit a fire within me, showing me just how precious and valuable each life is. He showed me that I had come to a fork in the road in my life, and I had a very big decision to make. If I chose to have another abortion, I couldn't imagine all the pain and darkness that would follow. But if I chose life, I couldn't imagine the beauty that he would bring. I remember like it was yesterday, on a lovely, lovely August evening, when I was alone with my thoughts and I was watching the beautiful sunset and the pink clouds dance across the sky, when the decision suddenly became clear to me. I knew I had to obey the Lord. I knew I had to choose life. It was as if a weight was lifted off my shoulders and I could finally breathe a sigh of relief. The battle had been won. Victory was his. I didn't know what would happen next or where he would lead me, but having answers to my questions no longer mattered. It was as if the reasoning for abortion fell away when I saw that God would be with me every step of my difficult journey. There's a story in one of Corrie ten Boom, who's one of my spiritual heroes, in her book, and she's talking to her father, Casper, about the fear. She's fearful of him dying and that she couldn't make it without him. And he asked her, "Corrie, when we go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" "Why, just before we get on the train," she replied. "Exactly. And so our wise Heavenly Father knows when we're going to need things too. He gives us just what we need at the moment we need it. If God asks us to do something, we can be sure he will give us the strength and grace we need to obey." You know, I think some people will look at my story and say, "I don't know how you did that. I can't imagine, you know, what would I do in that situation?" But if you're not in that situation, you don't need to have the strength and the grace to get through it because you're not facing that. But God gives us what we need for our own lives and our own circumstances. So just trust that he'll give you what you need to face whatever lies ahead. The Lord gave me peace that he'd give me everything I needed the moment I needed it. Whether I was choosing between parenting or adoption, when I would tell my parents, I seriously was considering adoption at this time and contacted a young woman named Bex, who I had known had placed her son for adoption. I just needed to talk to somebody that understood where I was and that could offer me encouragement and hope. God brought just the right people into my life at just the right time. I went to my local pregnancy resource center in Virginia. I'm from Virginia. I live in North Carolina now. It was immediately that day when I walked into the pregnancy center. There was a contrast of how the abortion clinic had felt versus the center. They were literally about a mile down the road from each other. This is the Planned Parenthood where I had gone for my abortion. At the pregnancy center that day, there was light streaming through the windows. It was so bright and beautiful in there. It was such a place of hope and light versus the place of darkness and despair. There was no judgment there, only support and love. I left the center not having any answers to my questions, but feeling sure of my choice of life, feeling hopeful for my future and my child's future. The choice was no longer between adoption, abortion, and parenting, but now only between adoption and parenting, both of which ended in my child having a life. I just wanted what God wanted. He brought me to a place of surrender and being willing to do whatever he asked of me. I thought I'd choose adoption for a while, but after wrestling with the decision, he showed me his plan for my life was parenting. I had complete peace in this decision. I read a passage of scripture during this time that has profoundly shaped and changed my life. It's in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, when Jesus is eating at one of the Pharisees' houses, and a woman in the city who is a sinner knew he would be there, so she brought her alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, weeping and washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hairs of her head and kissing and anointing his feet. When I read this, I was just so amazed at that picture of brokenness. Simon said, if this woman were a prophet, he would know what kind of, Simon said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that's touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered him, saying, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me then, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered him, saying, I suppose who he forgave most. And Jesus said about this woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then Jesus told her, thy sins are forgiven, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I know God brought this passage of scripture to me at this time to show me that I was that woman, and in him, I was forgiven. He showed me that somehow, some magnificent and beautiful way, he was going to use my sin for his glory. Because I had come face to face with the wretchedness of who I am apart from Christ, he was going to give me the ability to love him and others much in a way that I never would have been able to had I not made these choices. He showed me that if I would allow him to take his rightful throne in my heart and life, that he would do abundantly beyond what I could ever imagine for my good and his glory. He literally lifts us up out of our darkness, washes the filth off of us, and shows us that he can and will completely redeem all the things that the enemy means for destruction in our lives. All things together for good. God walked me through healing, cleansing, and repentance. It was very painful, but necessary. He showed me his love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. When I was early in my pregnancy, he revealed to me that I was carrying a little girl named Lily. Lily meaning purity and innocence, to be a symbol of my renewed purity and redemption in Jesus Christ. She was not a symbol of guilt and shame, and she herself was not the sin. I was praying about her middle name, and I kept getting the name Catherine. I had no idea at the time that Catherine also means purity. It was so incredible for me to see how God knew my baby. He knew she was a she, he knew her name, and he cared enough about her to reveal that to me. No matter what you've done, know that when you repent of your sin and turn back to God, He is faithful to wash you white as snow, white as a beautiful lily. When we surrender to Him and ask Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives, He no longer sees our sin when He looks at us. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." So He no longer saw my abortion when He looked at me. He promised to be with me every step of my difficult journey through pregnancy. And oh, He was. He was with me when I had to break the news to my parents, one of the things that I had feared the most. He was with them when He gave them the strength and the grace to walk out their pro-life convictions. They welcomed me back home with opened arms. I pray that how my parents responded to me in love during my crisis pregnancy will be an example to others to respond in love to those facing similar circumstances. Women who do choose life need to be honored for their choice of life and have both practical and spiritual support. Just because we support someone in a crisis pregnancy doesn't mean we condone the behavior that got them into that situation. May we show others the very mercy that God has shown us. God worked out all the details of my pregnancy, from my doctor care to all the financial aspects of it. Those were things that I had feared too. He brought peace and healing to my heart that was broken from my abortion through choosing life the second time. I literally had no strength in and of myself. God knew it would take something big to break those chains. He used a sweet unborn baby girl named Lily Catherine to break the chains. For the first time in so long, I had freedom, peace, and joy. Sometimes God must bring us to a place of complete brokenness for us to realize how desperately we need Him. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." It's a gift to be in that place. As Corrie Ten Boom said, you'll notice that I like to have Corrie Ten Boom throughout my speech. "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." I was in a deep pit that I had dug myself. But God's love is deeper than my pit, and His love is deeper than yours too. His love alone can pull us out and set us free. We were so excited for our Lily girl to join the family. My pregnancy was such a sacred, beautiful, treasured time. On March the 16th, 2010, I arrived at the hospital to deliver my full-term daughter. It was then that I was told the words that will forever echo in my memory, "I'm so sorry. Her heart is no longer beating." It felt like a horrible nightmare that I wanted to wake up from. I felt myself perishing under the weight of this suffering when the Lord gently reminded me that just as He had given me the strength to get through my pregnancy, He was going to give me the strength to get through this now. He showed me in that moment that I had trusted Him with her life. Was I now willing to trust Him with her legacy? His train ticket of grace was waiting for me. All I had to do was reach out and take it. All I had to do was rely upon Him for the strength, peace, and grace I'd need to get through the coming days, weeks, months, and years. God always promises to provide us with what we need the moment we need it. It doesn't make difficult things easy, but somehow His strength and grace is sufficient for us to bear what would otherwise crush us if our hope was not in Him. The Lord has shown me that He desires me to live each and every day like March 16th, 2010, desperately relying upon him for everything and knowing I am helpless without him, depending on his strength and trusting fully that he is sufficient for me. Lily Catherine was born March 16th, 2010 at 4:24 p.m. She was 7 pounds, 9 ounces, and 21 inches. She was perfect and beautiful in every way. She looked like my mini-me. My God was with me when I delivered her. He was with me through that night when I had to give her enough hugs and kisses to last a lifetime. He was with me through her celebration of life service and her burial when we covered her miniature white coffin with tears, rose, and lily petals and dirt. Lily Catherine's name took on a whole new meaning. She will forever be pure and innocent. I struggled with why would God let me walk this road, let me love her so much, only to take her from me before she ever breathed her first breath. But I have peace in knowing that I let God give and God take away. I obeyed him and chose life. My daughter died with dignity. I know that God did accomplish all that he sent Lily to earth for. Though it was in a shorter amount of time than I ever would have dreamed or liked. There was a full autopsy done on her, and there's no medical explanation for why she died so soon. But God has brought peace to my heart that he is greater than medical explanations. He was not surprised by this twist in the story. It was his plan all along. You see, he's using her life much more powerfully with her not here than he would have if she were here. Oswald Chambers said, "If through a broken heart, God can bring his purposes to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking your heart." God saved Lily's life from abortion and used her life to save mine. He used her to bring me back to himself. He used her to bring healing from my abortion and from the pain that was caused from running from him for so long. He used her to restore family relationships and friendships that were completely broken. So many, if not most, of the beautiful things in my life today are blessings from the Lord that flowed out of my choice of life. When he showed me that I had no idea the beauty that he would bring, he was right. In the physical realm, God used Lily as a reflection for what he was doing in the spiritual realm, bringing life. I will forever regret my abortion, but I will never regret my choice of life. When you choose life, no matter the outcome, no matter if your baby dies like mine did, no matter if your baby has Down syndrome or autism or whatever it may be, it is a choice to never regret. I know that abortion feels like the easy solution, but trust me when I tell you that the problems of an unplanned pregnancy are temporary, but the scar of abortion lasts a lifetime. Just as the Lord had shown me that Lily was a girl early in my pregnancy, he's revealed to me that my first child was a boy. I have named him Luke Shiloh. Luke meaning light, because God has brought light in the midst of the deepest darkness. And Shiloh meaning peace, because God has brought peace to my wounded and aching heart. The Lord Jesus can bring healing from abortion. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." 1 in 3 women will have had an abortion in their lifetime. I know that it doesn't that it affects those in the church. It affects those that are Christian, like it did me. If you have been directly impacted by abortion, ask the Lord to lead you down your own path of healing. He desires to make you whole. He can bring beauty from ashes. I made a promise to Luke Shiloh and Lily Catherine that I will be their voice always. At one point, I never wanted anyone to know that they even existed. But now I want the world to know they are my children and I am their mother. Luke is just as much a part of the story as Lily, and I love him just as much as her. Though I'll never know him in the way that I got to know her, but they are both beautifully intertwined into the same story of life. Perhaps if I had not had my abortion, Lily would have been the one aborted. But no, he is just as much a part of this story. God can restore the most broken of hearts. He can redeem anyone in any situation. I am a living testimony of this. He truly works all things together for our good and his glory. He brings beauty from ashes. He can take our pain and make it our purpose. So often, I think that people never get involved in pro-life ministry because they think, I'm just one life, I can't make a difference. Look how God is using the lives and legacies of Luke and Lily, two babies who never spoke a word or took a breath. Yet God is speaking powerfully through them, saying how he has a plan and a purpose for each individual life created in his image. And each life, no matter how small, has value and can make a forever imprint on this world. My entire life and future have been changed by two babies who never lived outside of my womb. Yet God has given me a passion and a purpose I never could have dreamed I'd have. Through my sin and sorrow, God has birthed this within me. So please never feel like you are just one life and cannot make a difference. What's important is that we follow the Lord wherever he leads, and we can trust him with the outcome. Even if we only ever impact just one life, it is worth all our efforts. You never know how you may impact one life, and that person may impact another life. It's like a ripple effect that we'll never know until we get to heaven. When I went to the pregnancy center in Virginia, I met with the director there named Anna. We probably talked for about 30 minutes, and she showed me a couple videos and prayed with me. She made such an impact on me that I could not forget her throughout my entire pregnancy. I kept meaning to call her and tell her how much she had affected me, but never got around to it until Lily passed away, and I called her and asked if she would come to her service, which she did. We have a beautiful friendship to this day. You know, she never could have imagined how she, in that short amount of time, would make such an impact on my life. But she did. And now, you know, now my passion is sharing about pro-life, and part of that has to do with her and how she impacted my life. So you never know how God is going to use you. Remember that no matter what you're going through right now, God is preparing you for a future that only he can see. I hope that by sharing my story with you, I have given a face and a voice for the women in the unplanned pregnancies. And I hope that you see my Lily and Luke as examples of the precious lives that we're all fighting so hard to save. It's not just about the babies, but the mothers and the fathers too. being pro-life means being pro-every life. I just want to briefly share about my friend Bonnie, who's here today from Alaska. And she and I and another young woman, Faith, were roommates. Bonnie's birth mother tried to abort her when she was several months into her pregnancy, but Bonnie survived. Because of the abortion, she has cerebral palsy. Her parents couldn't have biological children, and they were looking in an adoption magazine one day when her dad saw a picture of Bonnie and told her mom, "That's going to be our little girl one day." He went to Thailand when Bonnie was 2.5 and brought her to her forever home. We like to say that Bonnie and my story, we show both sides of the story. She's the face of the unborn, and I'm the face of the women in the unplanned pregnancy. But we have a beautiful, dear friendship, and it's such a picture of the reconciliation and redemption that the Lord can bring. Abortion is one of the greatest injustices in the history of the world, and God's heart is breaking. 3,000 babies are being aborted every day in America alone, in our own backyard. Are we just moved at some level, or are our hearts breaking? As Eric Ludi said, heroes are made because they are moved, not in their heads, but in their hearts. I ask that you would allow your heart to be moved beyond mere compassion to action. You can make a difference for life. I would be happy to talk with you more about ideas for getting involved in pro-life ministry. How you get involved might not feel comfortable to you. This certainly is not comfortable for me, but just because it's not comfortable doesn't mean God's not calling you to do it. I pray that my story points all eyes and hearts towards the author of life, Jesus Christ, for it is only because of him that any of us even have life. Not all of us will experience a crisis pregnancy where we must choose between abortion and life. But each of us must make the decision whether or not we will choose life in Christ. May we choose him today. Now remember, please don't walk away thinking, what a sad story. Think, what a great God who can redeem and restore and heal. Thank you all so much for letting me share. It's been such an honor and joy.